and welcome to Juno Afternoon. My name is Shona Strasser. Today is Thursday, October 24th, and we have a great show lined up for you today. We'll talk to Rena Sims about the St. Vincent de Paul Turkey Drive. We'll talk with Catherine Kell about the Canvas Halloween Party. Guy Unzicker will be here to talk with us about the UAS publication Title Echoes. We'll learn about this weekend's fun zombie run. And Nancy DeCherney will be here with Arts Up, as she is every Thursday. And before we get started with our first guest on Juno Afternoon, we'll get an update from today's Alaska Federation of Natives, the AFN, happening right now in Fairbanks. So stay tuned for that update and more on Juno Afternoon.
Reporting from the Alaska Federation of Natives Conference in Fairbanks, Alaska, I'm Sarah Gonzalez. Wednesday, tribal delegates and community members gathered to discuss issues and priorities at the joint AFN National Congress of American Indians Conference. This meeting was in advance of the official AFN conference, which got underway today at the Carlson Center. The theme of Wednesday's conference was Achieve the Achievable, with hunting and fishing rights again the major topic of discussion as in years past. AFN President Julie Kitka reviewed the work she was doing to further goals for better subsistence management, with or without federal support.
We also have an area of things that we can do ourselves to improve things and make things better and use our own resources, use our own leadership, use our own manpower and our own brains to do. And we're going forward with that in two ways. One, we're trying to get some federal authority and some federal resources to back that, but we're also setting it up that if we're not able to get the federal authority,
Kitka described an intertribal fish commission demonstration plan currently underway that seeks to prove to the government that tribes can successfully oversee subsistence on their own lands. This smaller conference presented mostly rural attendees with a chance to speak directly to state and national representatives about the issues of most concern to them. People like Mary Sattler from Bethel addressed both state and national representatives with concerns about successfully communicating the needs of rural Alaskan.
One of the things that works against us in rural Alaska is we come from very small, isolated places where we don't really have networking capability. And this kind of a gathering gives us the same numbers as, say, Fairbanks or even, you know, maybe even close to what the Matsu Valley has in terms of a base or a group voice.
Strength in numbers, an idea of importance as voting rights were discussed. Natasha Singh of Stevens Village is an attorney with the Tanana Chiefs Conference. She says protecting the voting rights of Alaska Natives and a larger voter turnout are essential to improving major areas of concern like health, education, and hunting and fishing rights.
Without the elected officials knowing we have voting power, they will not listen to us. You have to elect candidates that represent your interests, especially in Alaska Native subsistence needs.
Also brought to the national table was a comment regarding increased federal funding for Alaska's Village Public Safety Officer Program. Sergeant Jody Potts is a VPSO coordinator. She sees her role as the first line of defense against many of the ills that plague rural Alaska villages.
And so just having VPSO presence, they're able to address domestic violence as it happens. You know, they're able to address the importation of alcohol into a dry village. And, you know, any time that alcohol is intercepted by a law enforcement officer, being troopers or VPSOs, that's one less act of violent crime in the community. One more child that doesn't have to seek violence or experience it, and they can go and learn at school.
In the afternoon, attendees addressed a panel of representatives and commissioners from Governor Sean Parnell's office, expressing their concern over state spending on road to resource projects, food security issues, the high rates of unemployment in the villages, and the lack of funding towards rural education needs. Second Chief Edward Alexander of Fort Yukon urged the panel of governor's representatives to choose respect for the rights and sovereignty of Alaska Native tribes.
You know, it's time for the governor to choose respect for our tribes and for our courts and respecting the people out in our areas.
These issues and more will be discussed at greater length as the Alaska Federation of Natives Conference continues through Saturday, October 26th. Reporting in Fairbanks, I'm Sarah Gonzalez.
AFN newscasts produced by Quahonic Broadcast Corporation. Major funding provided by the Siri Foundation, ConocoPhillips, South Central Foundation, Arctic Slope Regional Corporation, Donlin Gold, the Pebble Partnership, the Rasmussen Foundation, Jalista Corporation, and Manilik Association. You can help the broadcast by taking the AFN listener survey at knba.org. This is a production of KNBA, Quahonic Broadcast Corporation, and Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
And welcome back to Juno Afternoon. My name is Shona Strasser. It's Thursday, October 24th, and the first guests that I have in the studio, I'm really happy they're here because they're talking about something so important. We have Rena Sims, and we have Paula Sumdum, and these ladies are working on the St. Vincent de Paul Turkey Drive. Thanks for coming to the studio.
Hi, thank you.
Hi, thank you. Gobble, gobble time. Time for Juno turkey time.
So, okay, gobble, gobble time. What is, I love it. What is the, I mean, it's a turkey drive, but yes. When we were talking just before we came on air, it's actually not just turkeys.
It's not just
it's
turkeys.
It's a complete basket so the families in Juno can have a good holiday season.
And how many families does this turkey drive usually serve?
We started out at 200 several years ago, and now last year it was over 500.
And we want to really thank Myra Monson and
Mr. McDonald.
David McDonald for giving so very generous. He gave over 290 turkeys. Myra filled in with all the trimmings and more turkeys for the 500 people and the community. We have an outstanding community. We did more than 500 baskets, but we stopped after we hit 500 people, just kept coming. And these Thanksgiving baskets consist of the turkeys, the stuffing, the
potatoes,
corn,
gravy. Canned fruit to make ambrosia, pies that are already cooked,
whipped cream, soda,
Cool Whip soda, dinner mints even.
Yeah, it's about a $40 basket, and we do it behind Postal Way. They have been so gracious year in and year out. Alaska Marine Lines has always donates the trailer so that we can store this food here. We have so much appreciation that goes out to Urgent Care and to Southeast Alaska Furniture. Lots of thing for Saga. Saga has a wonderful team of young people that come with their leaders. The Mormon Church, they just bless the socks off of us.
So as far as the turkey drive goes, how long has it been in existence? How long have you been has St.
Over
Vincent
10 years.
Oh, really?
Oh,
so
yeah.
Quite a while.
Yeah, we started out with 25, then we went to 200 for a few years, then we went to 500. And we have such needs here in Juneau. I don't know how much the government shutdown here affected some families, but we have had people that have, last year was a tremendous year of people having fires, whole families. We had about 9 fires here in Juneau and outside of Juneau here too, where we had to support, not to mention people being medevaced in and out, not to mention the buildings where we had to, even after the holidays, flush food that we had gathered for Christmas for the fire that happened downtown. And so loss of jobs, people on fixed incomes that this is still out of their league to do.
And so what are you, what can the people of Juneau do to help out in this turkey drive?
Well, and also I want to thank Shorty Tonsgaard from Channel Construction, because he's always given turkeys and pies and
potatoes,
and he's always been great. There's two ways. If you could want to just give money, you can go to marthasvdp@gmail.com. And that is how it's, you can click on it and you can actually give. The phone number for St. Vincent de Paul is 789-5537, extension 7. If you would like somebody, if you would like to drop things off, you can do that at Smith Hall, right behind Mendenhall Auto and the Nugget Mall.
So people can drop off food or they can donate money.
Yeah, they can drop off money. They can mail in a check.
Yeah, 8617 Teal Street is the mailing. And also Alaska State Housing has given us the place to create the baskets and distribute the baskets. Every year they give us like a week's worth of free use of a community center. So this really is the community giving back to the community. And a lot of people... We have people come, and they will donate services, and because they got a basket, you know, even their teenagers stay, and oh, I can help people out with their baskets. I can help mom to walk down to the apartment with her babies, you know. So it really is the community giving back to the community immediately.
What's that young man that comes by and drives them out? What's his name again?
Al. And I'm sorry,
tremendous.
I forgot Al's last name.
Al is tremendous. People will come by and drive baskets out to people that can't come get it. We don't turn anybody away. We just ask that you would be respectful and sign up November 2nd to the 15th.
Right.
And that most people that come in, they're very thankful. They're very grateful. We get to hear a lot of stories.
So what are the sign-ups for November 2nd to the 15th?
At Smith Hall.
At Smith Hall at St. Vincent de Paul.
And what do you sign up for?
You sign up for the baskets.
Okay.
If
so if you're a family
feel that
in
you're
need.
In need.
Yeah.
Or if you know someone that's in need, but know that circumstances don't let them feel comfortable enough to come get it, you can come and pick one up and give it to somebody else.
And that we did get. We had seniors... and others, we had a lot of stories, and we check them out, too. We're not just, we just don't give out a turkey, although we do just give out a turkey. We do go check out some of the stories, and it's very neat to find out that there's a family. Last year was a father with three children, and he just felt so bad about himself, you know, that he didn't want to come down and ask, and somebody cared enough in the community to do it for him and take it to him and get it going. So Thanksgiving, Myra says, is the best time of the year. She remembers her Thanksgiving with the pineapple, and she, that's her signature. She makes sure that pineapple is there. And it's a lot of love that goes into this from this community. And God bless you for it, too.
Yeah, thank you, everybody.
And I'm thankful to St. Vincent de Paul because they make it possible to look out for the people here in this community. I want to thank Dan Austin. I want to thank Martha. I want to thank Tammy. I want to thank that crew over there. Outstanding. Scott, outstanding.
That's great. So if people want to volunteer their time, or if they want to drop off food, or if they want to make a donation, the best place is to give St. Vincent's a call and or stop by.
And right. And their phone number again is 789-5535. And the online is, it's Martha, and then SVDP, St. Vincent de Paul, at gmail.com. And you can use extension 7 to get a hold specifically of Martha. And their address is 8617 Teal Street.
Great. Well, that's lovely.
And thank you.
Yeah, of course.
And thanks to KTO.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, of course. And so you said how many families? You said 500 families.
500 families. And consider this, that's a small amount. We're a population of over 30,000. I have been down at this time of the year. Last year we had a couple of medicals. My son died at around Thanksgiving time here. And so their lines were out in the street in Seattle, and they didn't have, and they were, a lot of places were doing dinners for people. I have to take pride in my city. My city has it going on.
It's so true. Juno looks out for their own.
Yes, well, they do.
Yes. Well, thank you, Paula, and thank you, Rena, so much for coming here to talk to us about that, and we hope we can get lots of people to help out.
And thanks to Juno.
Yes.
Thank you.
And that's the David Grisman Quartet with Albuquerque, Turkey. All right, next in the studio we have with me Catherine Kell. She's here to talk about the Canvas Halloween Party. Welcome, Catherine.
Oh, hello. Thank you for having me.
But of course. So, yeah, what's happening over at the Canvas? Is this actually, it's not this Friday, it's next Friday?
Or no, it's actually tomorrow.
It's tomorrow.
Yes.
Well, look at that. All right, so what's going on tomorrow?
All right, so we're going to have our Canvas Halloween Party tomorrow from 2 to 9. We're going to have events throughout the evening, which means a lot of spooky fun for the whole family. First up is our Canvas Halloween Carnival. The carnival is going to be from 2 to 6 p.m. in our newly renovated Canvas Art Studio. We just got brand new set of closed-door cabinets in the art studio, which means a completely new layout, as well as tons of space for our haunted decorations, as well as a variety of games.
So what are some of the carnival games? I love a good carnival.
Well, if you're looking for some spidery prizes, we have our beanbag toss, as well as a fishing booth, which I have on good authority may or may not contain a shark.
What do you mean a fishing booth? What is that?
Oh, so basically we're going to have a panel set up with a ocean underwater scene, and you're going to throw a line over the booth, and we're going to attach a prize to it and pull on the string and see if you can wrestle the prize back.
Oh, I like it. I like it. And I like sharks.
And great. For those looking for something more hands-on, you can visit our resident mad scientists, Lou Auger, Luis Hernandez, and Fu Bao Goldsberry.
Wow. I know all of them. And yes, that is going to be some mad scientist work going on.
Yep, they're
going
to have some great creepy crawly experiments that you can check out and maybe even dare to touch.
Ooh. Love it.
And for those of you who don't want to brave, you know, the mad scientist lab, we also have free face painting by local artists Marianne Manning and Kylie Manning.
Nice.
Yeah. And if you're, you know, still in the mood for stuff to do, then you can head on over to chat with our Halloween gypsies, Ruth Simpson, Melanie Adams, and Rochelle Francis. You can have your palm read or catch a glimpse of the future in their crystal ball.
Really?
Yeah. So lots of really cool events at the carnival. If you stick around after the carnival, we're going to have some scary campfire stories in the Canvas Gallery. Local storytellers will spin Halloween tales for all ages. Unfortunately, toasted marshmallows are not included in this event. But storytelling will be from 6 to 7 p.m. and we'll have family-friendly stories.
So the carnival happens 2 to 6,
mm-hmm.
Yes? And then from 6 to 7, you've got scary, spooky stories.
Yes.
What kind of stories? I mean, it's family-friendly, you said, so,
yes.
Okay.
We're going to have a variety. I'm not quite sure. I know our director, Kelly Manning, is going to spin a tale or two. I know one of our canvas artists, Carl Bennett, is going to do a repeat performance of his story from last year, which was, you know, rave reviews. And I think Tom Manning is going to be making a repeat appearance at the campfire. So
by repeat appearance, so you had the carnival last year.
Yes.
Is this the second annual? Has this been going on for a while?
It's an annual event, so it's been going on for a while.
Great. Sounds fun.
Yeah. And if you're still in the mood for some Halloween fun, at 8 p.m. we're going to have a large screen showing of an 80s classic, Ghostbusters.
Yes, slime.
Yep, come dressed as your favorite character and enjoy a movie and some popcorn on a dark and stormy night. Please note we ask that all kids under the age of 13 be accompanied by an adult for this particular event, just because it's so late in the evening.
Yeah, and it's Ghostbusters.
Yeah,
sometimes
so.
It's a little scary. I remember being scared about it when I was little. I mean, big marshmallow.
Slimer.
Yeah. Nice. Oh, that sounds like a good time.
Yeah?
Do you all have a big screen down there? I didn't know that.
Yeah, we have a screen which we actually project the film onto.
Oh, great, because I've been noticing you all have been doing some serious movies over there for the last couple of years.
Yeah, we've been, we have our Canvas movie night every third Friday of the month.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
Great. So is this all free for the public?
Mm-hmm. All these events are free, and they're going to open to participants of all ages.
Great. And so just for those people who don't know what the Canvas is, can you fill us in?
The Canvas is a nonprofit arts organization. We're part of REACH. Basically, our goal is to create inclusion through shared art experiences. We serve members of the community who experience developmental disabilities, as well as community members of all abilities. We have day habilitation classes in the morning for our REACH artists, and then we also have community classes in the evening
Great. It's it's a fabulous facility. And I love that you said Melanie Adams, and I is reading palms.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think I might have to head over there and get my palms read by Melanie, see what she has to say. Well, that's great. Is there more information that people can check out on the website, or just to kind of find out the times and events and all sorts of other classes and good things you have going on over there?
Yep. If you missed any of the events or times for the Halloween event or just want to see what classes we have, you can either come on by. We have our schedule of classes from now up through December printed and ready to go. We also have our website, which is www.canvasarts.org, where you can keep up on latest events, upcoming gallery shows, and our wide variety of classes.
Sounds great. Carnival tomorrow, 2 p.m., Mm-hmm. Is there going to be, you know what I really want right now, fall is here, is one of those candy-coated caramel apple things.
Ooh, I don't think we're going to have any of those, but we will have popcorn.
There you go. You know what? Just as good. Just as good, I say. All right. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate you coming in. Carnival tomorrow at the Canvas from 2 to 6, storytelling from 6 to 7 with all sorts of spooky stories. And then what time does that movie start?
8 p.m.
8 p.m. Ghostbusters. Can't go wrong. Thank you so much, Catherine,
yes,
for coming in. And here's a little bit of Writer's Almanac on this beautiful Thursday.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday, the 24th of October, 2013. The first comic strip in a newspaper appeared on this day in 1897. It was a character who came to be known as the Yellow Kid, a street urchin, Irish, big ears, buck-toothed, bald head, wearing a bright yellow nightshirt. It was published in the New York World of Joseph Pulitzer, and it became such a hit and such a merchandising jackpot that William Randolph Hearst stole it away, offered the cartoonist Richard Outcault an enormous amount of money. It's the birthday of the writer Sarah Josepha Hale, Newport, New Hampshire, 1788, who campaigned for a national holiday called Thanksgiving, wrote letters to one president after another, until finally, in 1863, Abraham Lincoln listened to her. She was also the author of the poem Mary Had a Little Lamb. 1938, on this date, the Fair Labor Standards Act went into effect, which established the 40-hour work week and a minimum wage, which at the time was 25 cents per hour. It's the birthday of Antoni van Leeuwenhoek, born in Delft in the Netherlands, 1632, who perfected the microscope, though he was not a scientist. He was a haberdasher, but his hobby was grinding glass lenses. And with the microscope that he made, he became the first person to see bacteria and protozoa and to figure out how they reproduced and also to see red blood cells. And it's the birthday of the playwright Moss Hart, New York City, 1904, author of many plays, including You Can't Take It With You, a play about the strange Sycamore family, with their home full of snakes and ballet dancing and Russian royalty and fireworks, still one of the most popular plays produced. And it's the birthday of the poet Denise Levertov, born in Ilford, England, 1923. Emigrated to America in the late 40s, Denise Levertov, who said, in certain ways, writing is a form of prayer. Here's a poem for today by Denise Levertov, Come Into Animal Presence. Come into animal presence, no man is so guileless as the serpent. The lonely white rabbit on the roof is a star twitching its ears at the rain, the llama intricately folding its hind legs to be seated, not disdains but mildly disregards human approval. What joy when the insouciant armadillo glances at us and doesn't quicken his trotting across the track and into the palm brush. What is this joy, that no animal falters but knows what it must do, that the snake has no blemish, that the rabbit inspects his strange surroundings in white star silence, the llama rests in dignity, the armadillo has some intentions to pursue in the palm forest. Those who were sacred have remained so. Holiness does not dissolve. It is a presence of bronze. Only the sight that saw it faltered and turned from it. An old joy returns in holy presence. A poem by Denise Levertov, Come Into Animal Presence, from her poems 1960 to 1967, published by New Directions and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac. Supported by the Poetry Foundation, you can turn your iPhone or Android into a virtual poetry library with the Poetry Foundation's Poetry App. Available to everyone online at poetryfoundation.org/mobile. Produced by Joy Biles with assistance from Kathy Roach. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
And welcome back to Juno Afternoon. And in the studio with me, I have Guy Unziger, and he's here to talk about Tidal Echoes, and this is a UAS publication. Hi, thanks for joining me, Guy.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going very well, thank you. So, Tidal Echoes, what is that?
Tidal Echoes is a publication, it's a literary and arts journal, produced by University of Alaska Southeast, and it's for all of Southeast Alaska. Anyone in Southeast Alaska can submit.
So anybody in Southeast, I love that.
Absolutely, any age, any community. We've had submissions from the prison, even.
Oh, okay, here at Lemon Creek?
Yep.
Great. And so what kind of, you know, the publication, what kinds of materials are you, you know, are in there that you're looking for?
Well, we have three main categories. We have poetry, prose, and artwork. And artwork can include anything that can be photographed, essentially. Paintings, sculpture. We've had some printing, wonderful things like that. So we're really excited for anything, really.
Oh, fabulous. And so you're wanting to get some submissions, yes?
Absolutely. We're very excited to get submissions. We're campaigning a lot this year. We're looking for stuff from all over Southeast.
Okay, and what kind of, so you're looking for all those kinds of submissions. You're looking for poetry,
mm-hmm.
you're looking for, yeah. And so what do you get most often? Do you get short stories or?
I'd say we probably get more poetry than anything.
Okay.
We get about 300 submissions every year.
Oh,
we're
wow.
We're aiming to up that a little bit this year.
How many do you take?
I think that it's a, calls about, we call about half of them at least. And 25% of the journal is actually set aside just for University of Alaska Southeast students of any campus.
Oh, really? So that's actually really great to know. So if you're a University of Alaska student here in Juneau or Ketchikan or Sitka,
absolutely,
then you actually you have 25%. You have a little better chance of getting in there.
Definitely.
Great. And so who is this Emily Wall's work, yes?
Emily Wall, yep. She's in charge of this. She's a professor of English at University of Alaska Southeast Juneau campus. And she really puts this all together and makes it happen. But essentially, it's a student-run publication.
What do you mean?
That means that the editors, the interns, the people that collect and disseminate all this material, those are all students under her guidance.
Oh, that's very cool. And what is your role on this? Is it? Do you do the whole? You see the whole thing through?
I'm gonna see it through until about December, and then I'm gonna pass on the baton. And I'm very excited to do that as well. We have some great spring interns.
So when so you're looking for submissions. When is the deadline for people who want to submit?
The deadline is December 1st. And you are welcome to submit any time until December 1st. We'd really encourage submissions as early as possible, but if not, then that's fine. December 1st is our deadline.
Okay, fabulous. And if people can submit online, I'm assuming?
Absolutely. That's actually our preferred submission method.
Okay.
We do have an address that you can mail things to, but we would prefer an email to titleechoes@uas.alaska.edu. And just to clarify, that's tidal is in the ocean, T-I-D-A-L, echoes at
little
UAS.
Little play on words there.
Yep,
I'm a big fan. That's great. And so you've got a poem, yes, from last year's tidal echoes. Can we hear that?
Absolutely.
Great.
This is a wonderful submission that was put in the 2013 tidal echoes by Madeline Handley. She's a JDHS student. It's called Wild Cucumber. Delicate, beautiful, soft, light green, sprung from the dark under spruce. Leaves like upturned hands. Dark, shining berries hang under the leaves. Under but not hidden. Have a taste. It won't hurt me. I hold a secret I'll tell you today, or maybe tomorrow. Listen.
Ooh, I like it. That was a wild cucumber. Great. So if people, can people get this 2013 one that came out this past spring? Is that still available for people to purchase?
I do believe we have some copies left. Those can be purchased probably at the University of Alaska Southeast Juneau campus through Emily Wall. And usually we sell most of them at the wonderful release party that we have every year. That's when we sell the greatest majority of our publications.
Great. And when's that release party?
I believe this year it's going to be in April. Stay tuned for that. We're going to be announcing that as the date grows more sure and grows closer. And we're going to be really excited to release this next year's publication. And it's going to feature Pedar Dalthorpe. And it's also going to feature Christy Nami Erickson, two local artists. And we're very excited to show their work.
So by feature, you mean there's like you, for every publication, do you pick kind of two feature artists or maybe three? And then that's kind of they've got the focus for that one. And then everybody else submits. Yes,
absolutely. We seek out these artists. These are people that we chose and we sought after rather than they submitting to us. And we've had some wonderful, wonderful writers and artists in the past, including Kim Hecox and some other wonderful writers and artists from around Southeast Alaska.
Yeah, that's cool. Pedar Dalthorpe being a visual artist, and then, of course, Christy Nami Erickson being a poet.
Absolutely.
Great. Can we hear that you have one more short poem? I'd love to hear it.
Sure, absolutely.
I really got excited about that wild cucumber, so I'd love to hear one more.
Definitely. Here's a wonderful poem that was submitted and admitted to last year's journal by Nora Marks Dauenhauer, who is actually the Alaska State Writer Laureate. And she lives in Douglas. My hands, for Dick. These hands are all that I have left of them. My father's, my uncle's, and all their siblings, my grandfather's. When I'm working, I see them in my hands. When I'm writing, I see them. Everything I do is by them, even when I reach for your face.
Oh, it's beautiful. Yeah, we're so lucky. We have just so many beautiful writers here and beautiful artists. The thing that I really love about Tidal Echoes is that it's not just a literary journal, although there's so many stories and there's so many poems, but there's also visual art.
Absolutely. That's something that I'm really excited about in our journal, and we're very proud to provide that opportunity. Because we're a university publication and a literary and arts journal, we're put in the same tier as many wonderful publications from around the U.S., but there are some things that set us apart, and that is one of them.
Including photos, and do you have paintings and things like that, too?
Absolutely, or? All sorts of visual art.
Yeah, that's really amazing. So as far as submissions go, where's been kind of the farthest? It's mostly Southeast, yes, but where do you get most of your submissions from?
Well, right now we get the majority of our submissions from University of Alaska Southeast students. Most of our submissions, aside from that, are from Juneau. We have a good constituency of submittees from Ketchikan. We are really trying to integrate ourselves into Haines, Sitka, even many of the smaller communities such as Klawak, Cake. Huna.
I know some people listen over in Gustavus. We should get some submissions from over there, too.
If you're listening in Gustavus.
That's right. Bring it. Yeah. So Tidal Echoes is just a wonderful publication, and I actually didn't know that it was mostly student-run, so I'm really glad that you let me know that and let the public know that. One more time, the submission date again?
The submission deadline is December 1st. And you can email submissions to titleechoes@uas.alaska.edu. And you can also find us on Google. If you just Google Title Echoes, we're the first result. We're on the UAS Humanities webpage at the uas.alaska.edu, I believe. Look us up. Send us submissions.
Perfect. Guy, thanks so much. It's such a wonderful publication that I hope people get their submissions in.
Thank you.
And that's Blondie with The Tide Is High. And joining me in the studio right now is Jenny Twido. Hi, Jenny. How are you?
Hi, Shauna.
And you're here to talk to us about the fabulous Zombie Run. Now, this is different from the Zombie Walk.
Very different. Right? It is very different. This is a benefit for the Harborview Triathlon Club. It's a group of 12 kids that we take to Sitka to run in the Julie Hughes Triathlon in the spring. We train for about 10 weeks prior to the run, and the kids are super dedicated, swimming 2 to 3 times a week before school, running 2 to 3 times a week before school, and then doing some biking and running and swimming after school some days. It's pretty intense training for them.
I love it. And so this Zombie Run is actually tomorrow?
It's actually Saturday.
Saturday. I am so messed up on my days this week. Saturday.
Yep, Saturday the 26th.
Great.
Registration starts at 9:30.
Mm-hmm.
The run will start and end at the Sandy Beach Shelter. There'll be a 1 mile fun run for kids.
Okay.
And a 5K course for kids and adults, however, you know, whichever run you'd like to race. There will be 15 to 20 zombies in the woods and on the beach, and each runner will wear 2 flags, and the zombies are going to try to take your flags from you.
Wow, so it's kind of like capture the zombie flag, really.
It really is. You'll either survive or you'll become a zombie.
Oh, I love it.
If you have one flag left, you've survived the zombie apocalypse.
So you kind of have to run fast, really.
Well, our zombies are slow-moving zombies.
Okay.
So
do the run, essentially.
You could do the run. It would be great. We are trying to just create some fun, family, active events in the community, and that include kids and adults of all ages and all athletic abilities.
Oh, great.
So you can come and walk, you can come and run, you can come and hang out. It'll be fun. We'll have some music and some food. I believe we're going to have some special entertainment after the run. I don't want to give away too much.
Special entertainment. That's enticing, I have to say. So do you encourage the participants on Saturday to also dress like zombies?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Or any costume. Come in costume. The registration will begin at 9:30. We're hoping to start the run right at 10. The kids will go first, of course, the 1 mile, and then we'll wrap it up and have some food and a fire and some special entertainment at the end of the run.
And that starts at Sandy Beach. And what is the cost for entry fee?
Pre-registration is completed. We did a pre-registration. Today was the last day to do that. So I believe that it's $15 for kids and $25 for adults at the race day.
Yeah, and it's important to recognize that this is a fundraiser.
All proceeds go to the Harborview Triathlon Club.
Yes, and so they can go hit this race in Sitka.
Right. It's a it's a long-running, a long-standing triathlon, and it has there's an adult length, but the kids' length is about a 2 mile run, and then they do a 6 mile bike, and then they do a 500 meter swim.
That's awesome.
It is. It's amazing. And they had a great time last year. We did it for the first time last year, and those same 12 kids, I believe, plus or minus maybe one or two here and there, are going to start training again after the beginning of the year.
And so, who started the triathlon club? How did this get all going?
Well, another mom and I, my child goes to Harborview Elementary School, and another mom and I started to think about it, and then we got some other parents involved, and then Zach Stinson, the gym teacher there, kind of has orchestrated a lot of this as well. He has donated a tremendous amount of his time to helping us create this and really helping to train the children. Jeanette Lacey Dunn is another one of the moms that has really helped out and helped create the program. And then Kristen Cashman, too, is another one of the moms who's dedicated a lot of time to helping train these kids, you know, so that they can go and be successful. And, you know, it's such an accomplishment for the children after they finished this triathlon. I mean,
yeah, what a huge opportunity,
yeah.
Really.
And it makes it fun, you know, making being athletic and being active fun.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what we're trying to create.
Great. So that's a zombie run.
It's the zombie 5K and 1 mile fun run this Saturday, the 26th, at Sandy Beach at 9:30 a.m.
Oh, that's going to be a good time. And it's $25 for adults,
correct?
And you can show up there and you can register.
Mm-hmm.
And then for kids, it's how much?
Kids, it's $15.
Great. And what a fun way you get flags and people dressed as zombies chase you.
It's going to be, it was really fun last year. We had a great, beautiful day, and I'm hoping we'll have the same success this year.
That's great. Well, Jenny, thank you so much. It's just such a worthy cause, and I hope people come out and get chased by zombies on this fine Saturday.
Thank you. I appreciate your time.
It's the time of the season. Love runs high in the time, give it to me easy, and let me try with pleasured hands to take you in this time to promised lands, to show you everyone it's the time of the season for love. What's your name?
Who's your daddy?
Who's your daddy?
Be rich.
Is he rich like me? Has he taken any time
to show
you what you need to live?
Tell it to me slowly.
Tell you why
I really want to know.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Juno Afternoon. That was a little bit of The Zombies, actually. One of my favorite bands, The Zombies. And speaking of zombies, that didn't really come out right. But Nancy the Journey just joined me in the studio. And she walked in like a zombie, and now she's breathing like one. Hi, Nancy.
Love it. Well, it's just zombie week is all I have to say.
It is indeed.
All right, so get your white face paint out and walk around.
And start eating some brains.
Yeah.
Jokingly,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah, with butter, they're not bad. Okay, so let's see. It's Thursday. There's salsa dancing. There's a TEDx at 6 o'clock on magic.
Yeah, that one looks really cool.
Yeah, it's free down at the downtown library. Go do that. Salsa dancing out at the Rec Center at 7:30. Ultimate Frisbee at the Diamond Park Fieldhouse.
Ooh.
And they're going to, it says here, do that every Thursday starting tonight, except on holidays. And there is transportation from UES, and it's free. So
ooh,
you can do
that. That's so fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Gold Town Nickelodeon is showing Good Old Frida. It's a documentary at various times. Just check their schedule out. It's always hard to keep track. They do so many things. Let's see. At 2 p.m. on Friday, there's a Halloween carnival at the Canvas with spooky games and prizes. There is Halloween Fun, a Thunder Mountain High School haunted house with Boy Scout, Goblin Golf, and Helping Hands. I feel like that was last week, too, so maybe we should check on that. But maybe they did. I mean, we're going to put one together. You might as well do it.
Do it a couple weeks, right?
Yeah.
Right.
The JDHS drama department is doing Almost Maine.
Do you know that script, Nancy?
No, I do not.
It's very, very, very funny.
Is it?
If you get, yeah, it's sweet, it's heartwarming, it's funny, it's very Juno friendly. You know, it feels like a Juno kind of play.
Sort of similar, like.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I like things that are heartwarming and funny.
Yes.
Yes, we like that. At 6:30, Ray Troll is doing a talk at the downtown library, which is free, and I think you get to do coloring maybe with him. Rachel, the artist?
Yeah.
You know,
like what?
The
kind
brother of
like,
Kate?
Yeah. Yeah. That would be so cool. I want to color with Ray.
Yeah. So I just go there at 6:30 on Friday afternoon. Swinging in the Rain is happening. Barney McClure and team have been singing up a storm all week long, and they'll be ready to perform at the Jack on Friday night at 7 p.m., which is the same time that the third annual KXLL Zombie Walk starts.
I know. What is a zombie noise?
I don't know. They don't make noise, right? That's not why
really.
They're scary?
I think so.
So go to Evergreen Cemetery and find out. And you will walk from Evergreen Cemetery or Stagger or whatever zombies do to the downtown area.
You know, the first time that they did the KXL Zombie Walk, it was some years ago. And I remember there were some zombies. There were like maybe... I couldn't put a number on it. I mean, there were like 40.
They're hard to count.
They're hard to count. They move so quick.
They're slowly. Yeah. They look alike. Or...
And then last year, it was like, I was a little scared for my life because there were so many of them. They were taking over. And this year, I think it's just going to be, it's going to be awesome. Yeah, because they've got a lot of events following, too. Right?
Yes, they do. So it's a whole zombie weekend. So we start at 7 p.m. at the Evergreen Cemetery, if you're not over-listening to the music at the Jack. Or out at the Evening at Egan, which is Burners Bay, a living laboratory for studying environmental change and social adaptation. There could be zombies.
In Burners Bay.
I'm sure there are. Okay, 7:30, Local History Live, The Birch Brothers, a final Western of The Last Frontier. This is Mark Wheeler telling, not Mark Wheeler, his name has gone from my head, and I know him very well, over at the State Museum, telling a story that's true about Douglas. And it sounds wild.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it's free. It's at 7:30. There's a Canvas Halloween party, Ghostbusters film screening, costumes 13 and above or with adults at the Canvas. At 8 p.m., there's a Douglas Halloween skate, You Must Wear Costumes, at the Treadwell Ice Arena. At 8:30, Gould Town, Zombie Fresh Flesh Flick, surprise zombie movie, and Best Zombie Costume Contest. And there is a zombie dance with the dead and costume contest at the Rendezvous. So I think one costume and you've got your week pretty well.
You're set.
You're set. Go for it, so to speak.
Ghoul for it, Nancy. Ghoul for it.
Ghoul for it. Yes. Saturday, let's see, there's 9 a.m. Shea Alaska Cooking School's Preparing for Christmas. Gifts in a Jar. This
cool.
is at the Nugget Mall Annex. You can learn how to do some stuff. But at 9:30 in the morning, the second annual Zombie Run 5K and 1 Mile Fun Run.
She was just here to talk about that, Jenny, and she said that zombies actually come out of the forest and chase you. So I was thinking that you just dress as a zombie, you are a zombie. But no, you're getting chased by zombies.
I would run faster.
Yeah, that's what I said.
I don't think I could really do a 5K, but maybe I could if I had zombies behind me. Again, we could do the Halloween fun at, from noon to 4, the Thunder Mountain High School haunted house stuff. And there's, let's see, they're going to, at 2 p.m., discussion of the Birch Brothers over at the State Museum. So if you missed it Friday night, you can go see it again. And it looks like they've got the Ray Troll thing, a drawing workshop. That's when the drawing is. It's at 1 p.m. on Saturday, a drawing workshop with Ray Troll at the Douglas Library, and that's free. Space is limited, so you might want to give them a call and get yourself registered. At 4:30, there's the Douglas Ghost Walk at Mount Jumbo Gym. At 6 and 8:30, you can see almost Maine again. The Alaska Youth Choir has a little fall music concert at the Northern Light Church at 7 p.m. Alaskan Brewing has no umbrellas, real fashion for real Alaskans. Centennial Hall. You can get your tickets in the usual places. There's a skate and snowboard film happening out at the Rec Center. Brosif? I don't know if I'm saying that right. But
it's Brosif. Like
okay.
Bra. Yeah.
I don't know. It doesn't have anything to do with zombies,
I couldn't pronounce it.
Brosif.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. At 7:30, Strange Paths album release party. That's with comedian Kelly Lee Williams at the Sandbar at 7:30. Dancing the Night Away. There's the Contra Dances start and the Rumblefish is playing. That's at the St. Anne's Parish Hall. That they usually go all winter. Once a month.
That's Saturday night?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
7:30.
Okay.
And at 10 p.m., it's Scorcher at the Rendezvous. Sunday morning, you can play ukulele. You can also play Halloween dodgeball.
Yes.
I hope it's not. Maybe it's dodge pumpkin.
Oh, I don't know. That'd be funny.
It'd be hurting.
But if you could really peg some zombies with a dodgeball, that would be awesome.
Okay. So that's at noon at the Alaska Club, probably the Valley one. Let's see, there's a Skate City Spooktacular Family Roller Skating over at Centennial Hall on Sunday at 3. And there's Goldtown is showing a film that is being sponsored also by SAIL called When I Walk. It's a documentary about multiple sclerosis. And that's your last opportunity, I think, to see Almost Maine. On Monday, we're having the Arts Roundtable, and it's currently scheduled for noon, but we might switch it to 5, so stay tuned if you're interested. This is for anybody in town who's interested in the arts and wants to get involved. If you're working in the arts or a volunteer or whatever, come and get to meet people and find out what's going on. The Juno String Ensembles are presenting something. I think that was last week. I'm not going to mention
it. Yes, it was a movie last week.
Yeah, 7 p.m. Goldtown is showing Muppets Treasure Island, which is in conjunction with Perseverance, who is going to be doing Treasure Island in November. So Muppet Treasure Island on Monday and Tuesday. Theater in the Rough begins Lady of the Camellias, and that, I think, starts on Wednesday. And their free preview, and this is it's going to run all through November. It's also supposed to be quite funny.
That's the word on the street. Yeah.
We want funny. The Juno Transit Plan update. You can 4:30 in the Mendenhall Valley Library and 4:30 in the downtown library on Wednesday. So Tuesday is in the valley and downtown. What else we got? Bats of Southeast Alaska.
How apropos.
Exactly. 7 o'clock on Wednesday at the Thunder Mountain Library. And then after that, you can play Halloween bingo and karaoke at the Rendezvous. Let's see. There's trick-or-treating at Nugget Mall on Halloween because Thursday is Halloween.
It is indeed.
Isn't that fun?
It is fun.
Yeah. What are you dressing as?
So
we know what to look for.
Yeah. You're going to say who? There's Troy Polamalu.
Who?
Exactly. He's a Pittsburgh Steeler. We look alike. And he's really good. Like, he's very talented.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I know. What about you, Nancy?
I might stay home.
Really?
I've got to hand out the candy, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know.
Kids don't really come to my house, I think, because it's really dark.
Yeah. Well,
a little creepy.
It is, and usually the Halloween weather is not so good. But it's a really exciting weekend of many things to do. I overheard that there was a person in town who thought that there was not much to do not much going on this weekend.
I've never, you come on, we talk every Thursday. There's never one of those weekends.
It hasn't been one in a while.
Right, and I really love that about our little community.
So there's probably a little run on white makeup, but I think we're good to go with all sorts of exciting things.
Yeah,
so.
Talc powder works really well if you can get it.
Yeah, ketchup and stuff.
Ketchup
with Karo syrup is the right consistency.
Yes, indeed. Indeed. And I'm glad we know that.
I want to mention also that all the wearable art stuff is up. If you want to register as an artist, that Kari got that up today.
Yes.
And if you want to register to volunteer for the event, that is up today. We are getting ready to roll, as you know. You're directing it.
I am indeed directing it. I'm on board.
Yes. And so I want everybody to go to the website, which is jahc.org, and get registered one way or the other.
Yes, please. We need volunteers and we need artists, models, all that beautiful stuff.
We need help with silent auction. We need, we're selling raffle tickets too. Would you like to buy one?
Sure.
You can win Alaska Airlines 2 round trip tickets anywhere they fly. And they're flying more and more places these days.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I'm really thanks to Alaska Airlines for generously supporting so many of us in this city here.
They're so nice. So if you want to catch your zombie fun, Nancy, where do people find this calendar?
Well, first, the calendar.
Blood just came out of her mouth.
jahc.org. And then, over at the Evergreen Cemetery at 7 o'clock on Friday.
Thank you so much, Nancy. This is KTOO Juno. We rebroadcast on transmitters K276 AF in the Mindenhall Valley on Auk Bay, K269 AO in Lemon and Schweitzer Creek, K201 AM in Gustavus, K220 BT in Hoonah, and K210 AS in Excursion Inlet and Icy Strait. In Juno, KTOO is on GCI cable on digital channel 871. We're also online at ktoo.org. Support for national programming on KTOO comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and listeners like you. Thanks so much for tuning in to Juno Afternoon. It's been a pleasure talking with you today. Tomorrow's lineup looks really good for Juno Afternoon. Pat Moore hosts at 3 p.m. You'll get the details about Teton Gravity Research Way of Life showing Monday at Rockwell. And we'll hear from Scott Burton talking about the Poetry Slam last weekend. And Lance Mitchell will be here to talk about some comedy. Have a great day.
You don't spy on your friends.